You're listening to a podcast from Victory. Learn more about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus in week 5 of the Apostles' Creed.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our 7 p.m. Cinema 7 service. And we have been going through a series titled Apostles' Creed. If you miss some of the topics, you may go to the site, victory.org.ph, and perhaps download some of the podcasts. Just a brief background, the Apostles' Creed actually is our confessions of faith, no? It's actually based on Matthew 28:19-20, when Jesus gave the great commission to his disciples, when he said, go into all the world, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you to the end of the age. So this Apostles' Creed, as the apostles receive this commission and begin to make disciples and baptizing people, they begin to preach about God and the Trinity. Okay, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, God the Son. No? And it became a confession for those who will be baptized, okay, water baptized. So it is actually basic teaching when it was introduced, but it also became a foundational teaching for deep doctrines of the faith. And it was used mainly to define, to bring clarity of what people should believe, and to give them a defense when they are asked of the hope that they are called, they'll be able to defend their faith. But not only that, to declare the gospel, to teach it, especially those who could not read and write. Through constant confession, they begin to preach the gospel, okay, using the Apostles' Creed. So basically, this is a discipleship lessons that we have been going through. This is useful to our faith. Now, I'd like to read once again, and we've been reading this week after week, the Apostles' Creed. And I know many of us, being exposed to Roman Catholicism, have an idea what the creed is all about. But let me go ahead and read the creed. You can read along with me. It says there, the Apostles' Creed, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of Virgin Mary. We've talked about this the past 2 weeks, no? The Father and then the Son and then the Holy Spirit. We also talked last week about the church. Let me continue. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So that is the Apostles' Creed. And today we're going to focus on that statement. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, and died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose from the dead. We're going to focus on this statement, and we're going to talk about the suffering and the death and the resurrection of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I'd like to read verses 1 to 5. And again, read along with me. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you receive, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved. If you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believe in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, God, speak to us today, Lord. Teach us your word. I pray that you would give us ears to hear what your Spirit wants to say to us and eyes to see what you want to show us, Lord. Thank you that you know every person that is in this room tonight, Lord. And it's not an accident why they are here. And so I pray that this preaching of your word will bring clarity in their faith, Lord God, and it will deepen their understanding of who you are and thus result to giving glory and honor to your name. Thank you. We give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are entering into a religious season. We are all familiar to this, the Lenten season, the Holy Week. According to survey, three things that people do during the Holy Week. One, they go on vacation, right? So how many of you would go on vacation or visit family? Will be going out of town, visiting my mother-in-law in Zambales, right, with the whole family, and come back before Sunday, right? So to minister again. So, but that's one thing that people do during the Holy Week, the Lenten season. The second thing that people do is that they go to church or they participate in some religious events and religious activities, okay, vigils. The other thing that people do during this season is stay at home, actually. Rest, okay, yung iba, make some mileage in their video games, movie marathon, whatever, okay, they can think about, okay, so just spending the time of the holiday, okay, so... But this religious week or religious season that we're going through, they bring both negative and positive things to us, no? First, the negative. One of the things that happens, okay, now that we are believers and we begin to understand, is the practice of penitence, the punishing of self, alam mo yun, parusa sa sarili, with the idea, okay, to atone for their sins. Now, I say negative because that is really unbiblical. God, the Bible never teaches that man can ever pay the penalty of their sin or can do something to lessen, okay, o mabawasan man lang yung kasalanan. Sa buhay po natin, hindi nababawasan ang kasalanan, nadadagdagan. At wala tayong pwedeng gawin para bawasan ang kasalanan natin. Now, that is true, but there is another truth that cleanses us from all sin. We're going to talk about that later. So this false burden of trying to do these good works to earn the favor of God, right, or to be restored in a right relationship with God, to gain God's forgiveness, really is a false burden that many people carry in the name of religion. And it's like people approaching their relationship with God. It's like a scale, no? With the sin that they have committed, they have to do these works, good works, religious works, so that their sins may be forgiven and that they may be restored in right standing with God. And I know that because I've experienced that, even as a Christian. As a young believer, I remember, okay, I think I was about 3-4 months Christian. And you know, you are new to the faith, and you have these habits that have been developed for years. One day, I made a mistake, committed sin, right? And I felt so bad. What I did is I went to the center, Victory Center in New Belt, okay? That's behind Miramar Theater before. As an usher, volunteer, I began to clean the whole place, mop the whole place. Kaya ganun pong ginagawa namin dati, usher, no? Wala pa mga exit. Kami yung nagpre-prepare on Saturdays. Clean up the center and set up the chairs in preparation for Sunday. Part ng ministry namin as an ushering. Okay, so as an usher. So I went to the place very early than usual time. That was on a Saturday. And I began to mop the whole place. And I was crying. I said, Lord, forgive me, Lord. I don't want to go back to my old life, Lord. And Lord, if I have to do all of these things... Okay? And again, that's the mindset. By the grace of God, Pastor Jonathan, who was there, noticed that something was wrong with me. So he sat down and he talked to me, and I began to understand in a deeper way the mercy and the grace of God. That I didn't have to try to cover up my sin. Jesus already did that for us. And so when people will try to do something to cover up or wash their sins away, it is against what God has already done. Okay, so that's why in a way I say it's negative. Okay, so, but not everything is negative. There are also positive things. Okay, one is that people are bombarded with the Word of God. And people become conscious about who God is. And personally, that is actually my experience. I actually got saved. I surrendered my life to Jesus Christ April 29, 1990. I can never forget because... it was so meaningful to me, okay, and I considered it my new life, my second life, okay, my second birthday. Meron akong birthday nung yung pinanganak ako sa nung baby pa ako. Meron din akong second birthday, April 29, 1990. Malapit na, magte 26 years old na ako, right? Okay, Lord. Anyway, the reason why I became curious about the Holy Week during that time, 1990, April 29, weeks prior to that, because I was excited about the holiday, you know, long holiday. And I was saving money to have gimmick and all that with my friends. And then suddenly, yung mga barkada ko, ayaw uminom. Ayaw mag-gumimik. Ayaw yung usual namin ginagawa. Linggo-linggo, halos araw-araw. Ayaw. Okay? Kasi parang si Lord naman. Okay? And so, I was so disappointed. Okay? And I began to curiously ask myself, what is in this Christian faith? What is in this Jesus Christ? Now again, although I grew up and been exposed in a Christian home, but I was so lost, I didn't really have understanding. I rejected most of the teachings about the Bible. But I began to ask myself, sino ba talaga yung Jesus na yan? At parang yung mga barkada ko na mga demonyo, bigla na lang mag-decide na in 2-3 days, okay, magpakabait muna sila. What such influence? So I began to wait on TV. I remember growing up watching that Jesus of Nazareth and all those, you know, si Moses and si Ben-Hur bayon and all that. For some reason, hindi ko siya nakita. And then somebody invited me to church. That was on a Thursday before April 29. It was good. And somebody invited me to come back on Sunday. And that's where I began to surrender my life to Jesus Christ. And so, there are good things that are happening, okay? The fact that the Word of God is being proclaimed during this week. The fact that people are conscious about God. Malls are closed. Ewan ko lang, open ang mga disco house, no? Kasi nga, nung time ko, nung unbeliever pa ako, sarado lahat talaga. Walang mapanood na pelikula na maganda. Okay, so, because people are giving time for spiritual things and for God. And I believe in a way, that is a good thing. The nation is in solemn mood of remembering what Christ has done. But the question really is, what does the gospel tell us about what's happening in Christ's suffering, in Christ's death, and Christ's resurrection? Okay. What do we need to understand? So what is the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ that changes all of this, that unburdens us from all of those false beliefs and false burden of trying to atone for our sins? So this is what the early believers through the Apostolic Creed was trying to make confession and affirm. So yung confession nila that Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate, that he was crucified, that he died and was buried, that he descended to hell, and that on the third day, he rose back from the dead. So I'm going to focus on that statement. So I'm going to talk about Christ suffering, death, and resurrection. So Christ suffering and the cross. Verse 3 tells us, "For I delivered to you as of first importance that I also received that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures." Christ died for our sins. Can you say that with me? Christ died for our sins. So that's what the Bible says. And this is what the early believers were confessing and affirming through the Apostles' Creed. That Christ suffered under Pontius Pilate. Before I talk about his death, I want us to understand that he suffered first. And the reason why he died, because he suffered so much. In fact, mas una siyang namatay kaysa doon sa mga criminals on his left and on his right. Because he suffered so much beating. So when we confess as believers that Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate, what does this mean? Ano pong ibig sabihin nito? Okay? Especially dun sa mga believers. Ang ibig pong sabihin dito na, really, the events of Jesus' suffering and death are not just some hearsay. They are actual circumstance that happened in history. And the fact that Pontius Pilate was mentioned tells us that there is a specific and precise point in history wherein a real person exists. He was the Roman governor during that time in 26 AD. So under a real man, at a real point in time, Jesus actually was whipped, was beaten up, was spit, was mocked, experienced such suffering. It's not just a fable story. It is historical. It's an actual event that happened. And this helps the believers understand that the faith that they are hearing are not just some hearsay. They are actual events that happened. Concrete historical circumstance. Jesus suffered. Now let me talk about Christ's suffering. There are many reasons why people can suffer. People can suffer because of the wickedness or the sins of others or the mistakes of other people. Now, some people also suffer because of their own mistakes or own bad decisions. Now, I want us to understand that Jesus' suffering was neither self-inflicted nor was his own sin, okay, as a consequence that he suffered. He had no sin, right? So, and he did not. Yung sinasabi minsan, di ba? Nagpakamatay ang Diyos. Hindi po nagpakamatay ang Diyos. Suicide yun. Right? Pinatay ang Diyos. Pinatay siya, right? So, now, was it part of the purpose of God that he would die? Yes. God purpose that Jesus Christ will suffer. And the reason why is that for him to take all of the curses of sin and death upon himself. So it's not an accident either that Jesus suffered. It's already been prophesied, the Bible says, as the scripture says. Sabi nga ni Paul, yung sinulat niya, no? In fact, Isaiah 53 tells us that. Let me read verse 3 to 5. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteem him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgression, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. See, Christ suffered purposely so that we may find peace and be healed in a relationship with him. Now, let me talk about the cross. You see, the cross not only was a form of execution in Roman time, and pardon me for the picture, I have to show you this picture. I know it's, you know, gory, but I have a point I want to make. You see, the cross was designed not only to execute criminals, but to execute and torture them with a slow, painful death. Criminals. Jesus, although he was not a criminal, he was crucified. And you know what that means? Listen, church. All of his suffering in the cross and even the beating, there's only one reason why he had to go through all that. It's because of sin. It's because of sin. Whose sin? Our sins. Can you say that to yourself? It's my sin that brought Jesus to the cross. In other words, listen to this. This is how ugly, how violent, and how destructive sin is. Yun po ang reality ng sin. Alright? Yung sin na ini-enjoy natin sa secret place. Yung sin na parang ang sarap gawin na may pleasure. Okay? Na talagang sinasarili mo at tinatago mo. At ayaw mong malaman ng iba, nakakaya, pero talagang inuulit-ulit natin. That is the picture really. That Jesus on the cross. That's the reality of sin. All of the hatred, all of the bitterness, all of the lust to covet, all of the lying, all of the idolatry, rebellion, and all that. The desires of flesh that is contrary to the will of God, all of the adultery, fornication, and all that. That picture of the cross. If you can flash that again, one more time. That is the picture of how ugly, how violent, and how destructive sin is. It's not the pleasure that we feel. Those are momentary. But the curse that it brings to kill and destroy, most especially our relationship with God. Does that make sense? And we need to understand this. We need to begin to see, and that's how the believers, when they were confessing this, they know what it means to suffer. They were there. It existed during their time. They live in the Roman era. They understood very much what that meant. That he suffered for our sins. That he was pierced for our transgressions. Ano po implication nito? Jesus suffered for our sins. He took our place. He substituted himself on our behalf. He who knew no sin. Wala po siyang sin. Wala siyang ginawang sin. But 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us, for our sake, He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Wow. He had no sin. He knew no sin, committed no sin, but He was made to become sin for us. In other words, all of the sins committed and all of the sins that will be committed was laid upon Him. And like the picture of the Old Testament when a lamb is being slaughtered as a sacrifice, where people will lay hands on them so that sin is laid upon the animal. That was the thing that's done in our Lord Jesus Christ. And His suffering was for you and me. He suffered on our behalf so that all of the curse of sin in our lives might be destroyed. Don't you appreciate God all the more of what He has done? The second thing that we find in this confession is Christ's death and burial. Jesus died. Verse 3 and 4. Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scripture, and that He was buried. So when the disciples, the early disciples, were confessing this, that Christ died and was buried and descended to hell, this phrase "descended to hell" actually was added later on, a few years when the early form of the creed was being affirmed and recited. After many years, it was firmly included and established, okay, because there is some significant truth to this statement. This is what Isaiah 53 says. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and He was afflicted, and He opened not His mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that bore before its shearers is silent, so He opened not His mouth. By oppression and judgment He was taken away. And as for His generation, who considered that He was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgressions of my people? And they made His grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death, although He had done no violence and there was no deceit in His mouth. You see, the point of this creed when it was being confessed is that Jesus actually experience death. The way we will die because of the curse of sin, He experienced it. He experienced that separation. When He was forsaken, He experienced that sense of God's condemnation for sin. And He experienced death of His body and a separation of His spirit, at least for those 3 days. He actually died. You know, marami pong mga tinatawag nilang conspiracy theory, no? Na si Elvis, buhay pa daw, okay? Naglalakad sa Las Vegas, okay? Baka kamukha lang, ang dami nila, no? And even in the early days, there were stories that Jesus didn't really die. Someone else died in His place. He wasn't really the one that was arrested. All of these things. But you know what? This is the confession of those who understand the scripture, of those who believe. This is the confession of our faith. Jesus died. He experienced the death that we experience. And not only He died, listen, He died the death we should have died. And that's what the gospel is all about. He came, He became a man, He lived a perfect life we can never live because He never sinned, but yet, because of our sin, He suffered and He died the death we should have died. So that, as the scripture promised, as Jesus Himself promised, that even though we experience death in John, as He said His disciple, yet we shall live again because He is the resurrection and the life. In other words, His death, Christ's death, really was for us so that we don't have to die in all of eternity, but that we can hope for an eternal life. And the Bible says that the penalty of sin, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin, wages, mga bayad of sin, singular. In other words, one sin is not yung mindset ng religious people, no? One sin equals many good works para mabawasan. Right? But the truth is, one sin is equals many deaths. The wages of sin is death. Wages, mga bayad. And all of those sins laid upon Him. In other words, Jesus satisfied the curse, the demands of sin. His death, His blood, His suffering and His death atoned once and for all the sins of the world. That is the significance of His death. His death destroyed the curse of sin that is upon our lives. Jesus destroyed it through His death. Not only that, His death is also our victory. You know, many people died for their nation. One of that is Ninoy Aquino, Jose Rizal. Many people in history sacrificed their life and died for the nation in order to liberate nation. But perhaps for a season, they are conscious about the sacrifice one made. But you know, there's only one death that can truly liberate whether nation, family, or individual. Only one death that can truly liberate and bring victory. And that is the death of Jesus Christ. Rizal died, Ninoy died, many others died. I don't know how many more people needs to die so that real change can happen. The truth is, none of those deaths will ever bring true and lasting change. But there's only one death that can do that. And that is the death of Jesus Christ. And that is the death that liberates us and enables us to live in victory and not in defeat. Jesus died so that we don't have to live in the curse of sin, but rather we live to obey and fulfill His will for our lives. And lastly, what the statement in the creed says, okay? Suffered under Pontius Pilate, died and was buried, and then the resurrection on the third day will rise again. I want to talk about the resurrection of the dead. Though I will not dwell much on this today, but we'll talk much of it next Sunday. But just a few thoughts that I want to leave us here. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 4, which says that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. He was seen by people. And so when the early disciples through the Apostles' Creed begin to make this affirmation and declaration, okay, they're simply confessing that Christ resurrected from the dead. Now, how important is this in our faith? Let me just illustrate. You see here, I'm holding 500. Ano ba to? 500? Tama? Anybody wants to bring home an extra 500 peso? Ano? Anyone? Extra 500 for today? Right. Anyone? So, konti lang? Yung iba? Okay lang kayo? Marami kayong pera. Ayaw nyo ng 500. Sinong gusto? Extra 500? Not bad to bring home an extra 500. We have a few people. Okay, so the problem with this 500 peso bill is that there's only one side print. The other side is blank. Would you still want it? Huh? Why not? Because it has no value. It's not complete. It doesn't make sense. But you know what? That's what the resurrection really is all about. Without the resurrection, none of our hope, none of the things that we believe would even matter. None of the sacrifice. If Jesus did not resurrect, we are still cursed. That's what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 15, 7 and 20. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ or are dead are lost. Could you imagine you died believing that Jesus saves you, Jesus forgave you of your sins, Jesus become the sacrifice, and yet he did not resurrect. And at the end of it, all of those faith are empty. But indeed, the Bible says, verse 19, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. Hallelujah. Come on now. Christ indeed was raised from the dead. The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. And that's the reason why this gospel has power, really, to enable us to live victoriously, as I've said a while ago. That the hope that we have for eternal life, that the hope that we have to live for God, to live pure and holy before God, accepted before Him, is not based on our own ability, but based on what Christ has accomplished. And like this $500 bill, totoo lang to, kung talagang printed by the Banco Central, right? Lahat yon. Then it has value, then it can be useful. Print lang po ata to sa baba eh. Okay? Kang ganda ng print, parang totoo talaga, okay? Unless you look at the other side. And none of us would want what is not complete, isn't it? But I want us to understand that Jesus' resurrection seals every promise, every prophecy, every hope, every longing for a right standing and a right relationship with God. It seals it. It accomplishes it. It completes everything. Kaya po, ang implication nito for us that the promise of a victorious life is possible. We can live victorious life. We can fulfill the will of God in our lives. We can hope for eternal life and not be disappointed. And I just want to ask you here tonight. You know, I remember when I got saved, I was so excited about really eternal life. For me, that time, Lord, kung mag-depart na ako, kunin mo na ako sa mundo, because I have come to know you and I have come to have an assurance in my heart that I'm saved. I'm ready to go anytime. By the grace of God, okay? More years. And of course, I have a desire to see my children grow up. Probably see some grandchildren. Kung pwede pang grandchildren, praise God. But you know what? As much as it's exciting to look forward in all of these things, really, if you ask me, I'm also excited even more to really come into that day where I am in eternal state with my Lord and Savior. And my prayer is that we don't lose that excitement, that we are always reminded not only of what Christ has gone through to suffer for you and me, to die for our sins, but He also came back from the dead so that our hope will not be futile, so that our Christian life will really be victorious, so that we will see transformation, not only in our lives, but even with our own family and relationship. Because of Jesus' resurrection, our hope is alive. Our faith is active. You know, listen to me, church. In the time of the Apostles' Creed, the early disciples, many of them died as martyrs. Many of them were killed, beheaded, hanged. But I believe those who truly believe and embrace this faith, joy, so much faith that it continued to advance. It never stopped Christianity. It never stopped the gospel. It still affects and is being preached even today. So how should we respond to this? 1 Corinthians 15 verse 1 and 2 as I close. It is what Paul said. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you. How should we respond to the gospel? Receive it. Receive it with all your heart. Receive it with joy. Believe in it. Stand on it. Let that be the basis of why you live and how you will live. Make your footing in the truths of the gospel of Jesus Christ. His death, His suffering, His resurrection for you. and hold fast to it. Even when you are tempted, even when you are discouraged, even when you feel like you're weak in your faith, stand, hold on to it, and not let go. Better yet, preach it, declare it, confess it. Let others hear of it. Let others be affected by it. Let it be a message in your life, what Christ has done for you. As I close, one last verse, 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. Here's what I want us to understand. Jesus took our place. Through his suffering, through his death, the death that we are supposed to die, the curse of sin that's supposed to plague us and bring suffering and violence in our lives, he took that. He took our place. He took that for himself. Why? As the scripture says, so that we will be brought back to God. So that we will belong to God forever. That is the significance of this confession. Let this be really the confession of our faith every day. Let me pray. Lord, thank you for what you have done. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you that you willingly took the violence of sin, the ugliness of sin, Lord God, the destruction of sin. And you took it, Lord God, in our place, Lord God, in our behalf, Lord, so that none of the curse of sin, the wages that one sin brings, will ever be laid upon us, Lord. But it's all laid on you. Thank you for your death, Lord, that through your death, every sin has been atoned for. Every sin has been paid. Sin has been satisfied and can no longer demand, because you have finished the work and paid, fully paid, the penalty for sin. And that's the reason why, God, the gospel of forgiveness, the gospel of new life, the gospel of new creation in Christ Jesus is being preached. Lord, that is my prayer, that tonight, Lord God, even us believers, that we will no longer, Lord God, tolerate sins, Lord God, that you have already paid for in our lives, Lord. That we will no longer live in it, Lord God. While your heads are bowed and eyes are closed here tonight, listen, I just want you to know that indeed we feel tempted. There are times we make mistakes, give in to the urge of sin in our flesh. But I want us to understand that Christ has broken that curse in our lives. We don't need to live continually in that life. And even as Christians, yes, there are struggles. We feel weak in our faith. But I want you to know, as you continually confess this, listen, you will be strengthened in your faith. But I want to pray for you here. If you feel weakened in your faith, if there are struggles and suffering that you have experience as a consequence of a bad decision that you've made, if there is condemnation in your heart right now, in your soul, I want to pray for you. And if that's you, I want you to just humble yourself and begin to receive God's grace in your life yet once again, because he is gracious. Would you just lay your hand on your heart and agree this prayer with me? Lord Jesus, I just pray right now, God, that you would heal us, Lord. That you would make good the confession of our faith, Lord, which we confessed many years ago, Lord. And even today, help us in our struggles, Lord. Help us to overcome, Lord. Help us to not give in, Lord God. Help us to continually see, Lord God, that the pleasures that sin promised, Lord God, are all lies. But in reality, they are violent, ugly, and destructive, Lord. And it destroys our understanding and our faith in you. Lord, I pray that you would heal your people today. I pray, Lord, that you would deliver people, that you would strengthen them once again in their faith, Lord God. And that they will be bold, Lord, to make this their confession, Lord God. Not the shame of sin, but the excitement and the joy of your salvation. Lord, I pray, restore to your people the joy of your salvation. And grant them, Lord God, a pure heart, that they may once again, Lord, look forward, continue to hope in you. Lord, thank you that all of this you've done. Lord, even for those who are suffering because of righteousness, I pray that they will not be discouraged. People who are standing up for what is right and they receive persecution and mocking, oh God, I pray that your grace will strengthen them, Lord, in the workplace, in the campus where they are in their community. Strengthen them, Lord. I pray that you will assure them, Lord, that you are with them and not against them, Lord. That you will never leave them nor forsake them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.